Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Good morning. How are y'all doing? Wow. That was lame. Hey, good morning. How are you guys all doing? That was a little better. Hey, I hope you guys have had a great week. You ever have one of those weeks where you look back and you just think you did too much? Yeah, maybe I did. I don't know. Who knows? But I sure did. I did a lot this week. It was a good week. It was a fun week. I went to Dallas this week. It was hard. It was really hard to be in Dallas because there's a lot of nasty people out there. They're called Dallas Cowboys fans. And I'm not kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. It was actually, I had a good time. But I was there for like 26 hours. It was insane. But it was a lot of fun. And just looked at, there's a pastor's coaching network. I had a meeting with a bunch of guys that coach pastors. And so, you know, I just want to help people become who God is calling them to be and get better at that craft that God has gifted so many people. And so it was neat to be in that room of a few leaders. And we have something super cool. If you did not get one of these yet, Alicia talked about it, which Alicia, great job with announcements this morning with the welcome. Give it up for Alicia. So Alicia, you guys probably don't know, she's one of our seniors in high school here at City View. She's going to Cambodia this summer on a mission trip, and then she's going on another mission trip for 9 months called the World Race. She's going to 3 different countries outside of the United States. I'm trying to remember what they were. I think one's like South America, one's Africa, one's Asia, and then Antarctica to minister to the penguins or something. No, I'm kidding. I don't remember. Guatemala, somewhere in Thailand, and then Ethiopia. So, yeah, I was out there. That's awesome. We love, you know, we really support, one, young people, but missions. We love missions. We love to reach out to the uttermost parts because that's what God is calling us to do. But we don't want to miss out on our home either, so because there's so many people who don't know Jesus. Easter's coming up. It's so soon. It's late this year, but it is April 21st. So don't forget, we have these really cool invite cards. I handed them to some of you guys this morning. If you did not get one yet, our ushers, they will have some as you walk out. But our series for Easter, starting Easter, is titled Life Hacks. And we're going to look at different things about the first message on Easter. I don't know if you guys can figure it out. Somebody asked me, what does life hacks mean? It's sort of like those tricks, how to make something simpler in your life. That's the idea, DIY type of idea. The first one is how to hack death. How can you hack death? Because if you look at our world, aren't we? You look at these athletes, they're trying to hack death. You have guys who sleep in these oxygenated containers, which I wonder, are they soundproof and would it work for my wife and I to not hear our kids? I don't know. We might invest in those. Not for health reasons, more for sanity. But, you know, we're trying to hack death, but you can't hack death without Jesus. And so we're going to look at how to hack death, how to hack anxiety and depression and fear, how to hack that idea that I'm not enough. And that's what we're going to be looking at through that whole series coming up from April into May through Mother's Day. So make sure you grab these, grab a ton of these, invite. Because you know what? There might be somebody who would never step foot in a church unless you invited them. So invite. So we are continuing our series titled Viral because we want the gospel to go viral. This is our buildup into Easter. We want people to know that Jesus loves them, that there's a Savior in this world that wants to change their life. We believe that. I believe that. I believe that God wants people to belong. He wants people to belong in a community where they can feel welcomed and loved. I believe that, and that's what City View, that's what our heart here at City View. And not only do we want people to belong, because people can just come and sit, but man, that's the smallest part of anything. We want people to believe in Jesus. You know, if you're sitting here today and you're still trying to figure that out, Jesus loves you so much. He has a plan for your life. But we don't want people just to belong and believe, but we want people to become who God is calling them to be. We want people to get into city groups. We want people to serve and to give and to see what God has planned for their lives. And I want to ask you guys, how many of you, after last week's sermon, you said, you know what, I want to serve. You don't need to raise your hands. But if you didn't try to get plugged in, you talk to God about it. That's all I'm going to say. So this week, as we move into part two of this series called Viral, we're going to be looking at the idea of, are you infected? Are you infected? How many of you have ever used WebMD before? Who's used WebMD? Okay. You know, you go onto WebMD and you see, you know, the internet is great, but it can make you think some crazy things, can it? So we go on and we look and we list our symptoms. You've done this before, right? You list your symptoms, and we wait for the results, and depending on how quick your internet is, maybe it pops up fast, or maybe it's just spinning, and you're like, I know I'm dying. I'm dying right now. And you might just have the common cold, but you're like, you list your symptoms, which they could be anything, and you list your symptoms, and the thing is, the only way you really could get any sickness is you have to be exposed to it. You have to be around somebody who already has it. And then as it pops up, you know, it says, yep, you're infected. You're dying. You ever have that? You Googled all your symptoms and you look and it says, yeah, oh my goodness, I am dying of the rarest disease ever. And the only way to get this is if I was around somebody who was in the middle of Africa and they happened to get this one single strand of this super rare, not common disease at all, and I'm infected with it. And you look back going, okay, how did I get this? You know, you do sort of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon in your life, going, okay, I talked to this person who knows this person who once smelled this one thing, who was by this person that talked about Africa one time, and I think that's how I got that very rare disease. You ever over-exaggerate yourself with an infection? Yeah, I think we all have. I think we all have WebMD'd way too many times, and we just need to trust the people who actually know what they're talking about. You see, if you were to look at your life and say, am I infected with anything in my own soul? I would ask you, what does your life say you were exposed to? You might say, where is he going with this? Do you have the symptoms showing that you belong to Jesus? Do you have the symptoms saying that you are infected with his love? Can people look at you and see that you are infected with a life change? To be infected means you've been exposed to something. Have you been exposed to Jesus, and can it be seen in your life? A life exposed to Jesus cannot help but be infected by his love. This is the one main thing I want us all to get today. A life exposed to Jesus. When you have been exposed to how amazing he is, you cannot help but be infected by his love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you have a plan for each and every one of us, that you want to use us, that you want to change us, that you want to save us, that you want to give us new life, give us a better life, a life we can't even dream of how amazing it would be. And Lord, I ask that you'd speak to each and every one of us this morning, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever's going on in our life, Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us. Encourage us. Lord, speak to your people at churches all over the valley this morning. Lord, I pray for Dwayne as he speaks at Life Givers Church, and Bryson at Relentless Church, and Andrew at Cross Church, Lord. And Lord, I pray for Caleb over at Desert Springs. And Lord, I just ask God that you would speak through your people this morning and speak to your people. In Jesus' name, speak to us at City View. All God's people said, amen. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 this morning. Man, this is one of the coolest, I think most amazing stories of when you see a life that was infected by the love of Jesus. A life that cannot help but tell others about Jesus, no matter what the consequences are. So we're jumping in the middle of a story right now, but I'm going to catch you up, but I'm going to start you in the middle, okay? Acts chapter 4, verse 1. It says, and as they were speaking to the people, speaking of Peter and John, that's who is speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed. Yesterday, Larry and I were driving in a on the freeway, and their license plate said annoyed. Everybody needs that license plate. It says, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus. That's why people were annoyed, that Jesus was being talked about. That they were talking about Jesus and the resurrection from the dead, and they arrested them, Peter and John, and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But look at this. But this is such a key thing. But this but right here. But before that happened, look it. Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of just the men came to about 5,000. So here's the backstory. Peter and John walk into the city. They walk into Jerusalem, and they walk through the city gate. I mean, if you can picture a big city, and there's walls all around this city, okay? It's not like our cities today where you can walk down any street you want, but it's a walled city. Everything is confined in there, so there were certain gates that you walked into to get into the city, okay? We talk about, there's walls are in the news all the time right now. Think of that similar idea, but this is Jerusalem. This is the city where Jesus lived in. I'm not talking political, I'm just trying to give you an idea, okay? That's all I'm saying. So don't go off saying build a wall or don't build it. Just this is an idea, mental picture. So Jesus or Peter and John, they're walking to the city, and there's this cripple guy sitting at the gate, holding out his hand, and he wants money. The guy doesn't even think I could be healed, he just wants money. He wants a handout. What he did not realize is Peter and John were not going to give him a handout. They're going to give him a hand up. So Peter and John walk into the city, and it says there in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, it says, when Peter said, he says, hey, I don't have money, dude. I don't have money. Can you imagine if we could do this every time we walk by somebody who didn't have? Man. I don't know. That'd be cool. He says, I do not have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus. You see, this is something that we can do, though. You drive by people, we talk to people. I mean, come on, this whole series is about being viral, going viral, taking the message of the gospel to everybody we know. It's not that people, money is good, it's nice to have, but the thing is, money never satisfies a problem, never solves it. So this same answer that Peter and John have works today. Silver and gold I do not have, but this is what I do have. I have Jesus. It's what you have as well if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you believe that he changed life, if you believe that he died for you on a cross, your answer can be the exact same. I don't have silver and gold, but this is what I have. I've got Jesus. That can change your life. And so here's what he says. He says, I do not have silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. Can you imagine what was going on in Peter's hand, in Peter's mind and in his heart? I mean, have you ever done something bold? Maybe men, it was the time you asked the girl to the dance. Yeah, have you ever done that? You're like, okay, I'm going to ask her to go dance with me. I don't know if she's going to say yes or no. Have you ever been turned down before? Have I been turned down before? I don't know. Probably not. No, I don't know. I mean, you don't really ask unless you know you're going to get a yes, right? Isn't that the whole idea? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you're weird and you just ask anybody and they're like, no, you're weird. Who knows? But Peter goes, puts out his hand. Because he knows God's going to do something. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Have you ever seen somebody who cannot walk? Who's been crippled their whole life? Do you know the
what would need to happen for them to be able to walk? What does it say? Look at this. It says, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising Jesus. In that moment, not only did Peter help him up, but God grew muscle. God grew tendons. God allowed his brain to teach his legs and his ankles how to walk. Things that I watched my boys stumble and fall multiple times. In a matter of a moment, this guy's life was changed. Those same changes God wants to do in your soul. And he wants to use you to help others with it. With a single invite. They healed the guy. The city goes crazy. The religious people, they're not just mad. I mean, they are cussing words mad. And Peter takes this as an opportunity to share about the life of Jesus. So that's where we're at in chapter 4. As we get into chapter 4, and at the end of that story, Peter starts talking about Jesus. He starts talking about Jesus is the one that healed this guy. Jesus is the one that did it. You see, Peter had been so infected by the love of Jesus. He had to share him. He had to talk about him. He had to tell others. A life exposed to Jesus can't help but be infected by his love. You see, Peter had been exposed to Jesus. He saw Jesus heal. He saw Jesus touch people's lives. He saw Jesus change people's lives. And by that love of Jesus, he was exposed to him. It changed Peter forever. So we come into chapter 4 and we see the results of that. And what happens? 5,000 people get saved, yes. But what happens? They get thrown into prison. I don't think that's what they thought was going to happen. They're like, man, we heal the guy. 5,000 people get saved. Actually, it's probably more like 15,000 people because that was just the men, but there were more women and children there. So you got to think thousands and thousands of people's lives are changed. Peter and John are like, this is the best day of our life. And then these religious people get all mad because how many times have you seen a life change in somebody, but then you got that Debbie Downer? That super negative person that's like, what? It's about me. Why are you losing focus on me? I want to do this. I want this. And you have these people that are focused on them. And you're like, but what about that life right there that has a changed life? Yeah, I know they're still messed up. So am I. I know that their life is nowhere near what it should be, but neither is yours. But you're so self-righteous and you're so judgmental and it's all about you. Get your eyes off you and look at what God is doing out there. But you see this religious group of people, these super religious people, they go, throw them in prison. Quiet Jesus down. You can't quiet Jesus, I'm sorry. You can't quiet him. Over 2,000 years ago, they tried quieting Jesus by killing him. Soon after that, they tried quieting the story of Jesus by killing all the disciples. 2,000 years later, you and I are walking in the freedom of Jesus Christ because you cannot quiet Jesus. You can't. You can't quiet him. And so they go into prison, and can you imagine that day? Can you believe that it can happen today? Do you believe that God could use you to change a life? That God could use you in your neighbor's life, in your coworker's life, in your fellow student's life, the person that you live next door, whoever. Do you believe that God could use you to change a life? If you do, do something about it. So what's the key? A life infected by Jesus' love, that's the key. So look, it says, verse 5, on the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem, and there's a whole laundry list of all these super religious people, these people that everybody else probably looked at going, they're really spiritual. Look at them. I mean, they're older than everybody else, and they're like super, but these people are so focused on their name instead of on Jesus' name, and because they didn't care about Jesus, they cared about their title. And so you have these Ananias and all these guys that are high priestly family. It says, verse 7, and when they had set them in their midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Man, you don't ask. a person who's infected by Jesus and his love by what name? Because you just opened a door of crazy. That's what just happened. These guys go, okay, hey, tell us, what name, what power, what authority do you have to heal that guy? What name, what authority, what power do you have to do the things you're doing? And Peter, you know, if God gave you that opportunity, what would you do with it? He's giving it to you every single day. Every single day, God's giving you an opportunity. It's whether or not you're walking through the door or not. So Peter, I love Peter. I mean, his mouth got him in trouble so many times, but man, it doesn't, my mouth gets me in trouble a lot too. You have no idea how many things get filtered before it comes out of this mouth when I'm on stage. I have a filter that's super fast. Sometimes it doesn't catch it quick enough. My other filter is my wife. She helps me too. She goes, hey, you shouldn't say that anymore. I'm like, thanks, honey. But Peter, this is Peter filled with the Holy Spirit said to them, with respect, you got to notice, he uses respect. He doesn't say, you dumb people. He says, rulers of the people and elders. He's respectful. If we are being examined, it's that same idea of you're sitting with the doctor, your WebMD, and they're looking at it and go, what are your symptoms and what is the evidence that you've been exposed and that you are infected? He goes, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man and by what means this man has been healed, he goes, is that the question you're asking? They go, yeah. He goes, all right, just want to make it clear because here I go. And he's like, boom! He says, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, and now he's going to define which Jesus, because Jesus was a common name, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you today. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you and the builders which have become the cornerstone, and there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter cannot help but talk about Jesus. He says the power is Jesus. He says the name is Jesus. Everything in this exam says he has been exposed to Jesus. Everything. They're looking at him going, dang, what did we just do? We should have just left him alone, let the guy heal because it's already a problem. He says, nothing else can save you. He says, nothing else can save anybody, only Jesus. Peter's life is so infected with Jesus, he can't help but talk about him. You see, a life exposed to Jesus cannot help but be infected by his love. That's what made Peter love this guy and say, hey, I don't have silver and gold, but I got a life change for you. I've got Jesus for you. And he puts out his hand. He has enough faith and enough trust to know that Jesus can save a life. And I know some of us be like, I wish we could heal. But the thing is, you may not be able to heal somebody's physical body, but you can help with their soul. Their soul is so much more important than anything else. And Peter, it says, what helped him, verse 4, it says, and Peter was filled with the Spirit. Verse 12, it says, and Jesus, he says, only Jesus can save because Jesus had saved him. He was very careful to define who this Jesus was because there were so many Jesus, a common name. He says, it was Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the one you crucified, Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, not a guy who's dead in a grave, but the one who rose from the dead, the one who still lives today, that Jesus. The one that you denied, the one that you stumble over, that Jesus. And it is this Jesus that has infected me, and he's infected everything about Peter. It is in this Jesus that we still talk about today. We still talk about him. But I think many of us don't talk about him enough. I don't think we do. The other day, I was talking with a guy, and he was asking me we're talking business and stuff like that. And he goes, Jeremiah, how will you know how will you know when it's the right thing to do? I go, well, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to know. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God's wisdom. And that's so simple, but
You could either dance around the topic and say, I don't know, I think the right I'll just know when I know when I know. But what are you doing to know? How many of us, we pray and then we wait till God shows us? That's typical when you have a life changed by Jesus. You know, Jesus does things like that, right? What if when somebody's asking you, hey, how did you get through it? Well, I prayed a lot. And you point to Jesus, because that's what Peter did. He's pointing them to Jesus. Now you might say, but man, that was Peter. I couldn't be like Peter. Peter was a disciple. He was trained. He knew what to do, knew what to say. He was like the top. He was like he had a doctorate in Jesus theology. He knew that stuff, right? Isn't that, don't some of us, we look at Peter and we're like, there's no way I could be like that. You look at the pastor on stage, there's no way I could be like that. You look going, that's great for you, Jeremiah. I get it. You're a pastor. You've gone to school. You've done all that. That's your job. Look at what it says about Peter. So these Pharisees, these super religious people, they're looking at Peter. They're listening to his response going, dang, he's good. And then this is their response. Now, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. Underline that last part. Because that's amazing. They had nothing to say in opposition. They're looking, going, they're dumbfounded. They're like, what the in the world just happened right now? These guys they did not go to school. He says they're uneducated, they're common, they're fishermen, they're construction workers, they're guys that you look going, how are they? They're looking, they're common men. They're not like some college professor. But one thing stood out about them: they had been with Jesus. You see, when you follow Jesus, when you allow Jesus to infect your entire life, people will notice. And they'll have nothing to say. Remember, God is not looking for the best. He's looking for the most available. That's what he's looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28, it says this: God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. That's what God is looking for. Peter and John, because of these two men, the gospel is spread to millions. Because of these two men, lives are changed for eternity. Because of these two men, a man can now walk. Yet what is said of them? They are uneducated. They are common. But what set them apart? The end of verse 13. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. They were infected. Everyone saw it. It was evident in how they lived and how they talked and in what they did with their life and how they served people and how they talked to people. Everything about them. They had been with Jesus. Can this be said of you? Imagine if it was. And I ask you, why can't it be? Now, what are the identifiers of a person that is infected by Jesus and that follows Jesus? What are those things that you look at that are some key symptoms? We're going to look at three things. The first one is found in John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. It says, if you abide in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this the Father is glorified, that you bear, or that you produce, much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. Number one, an infected person produces much fruit. That means they're kind,
There's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I asked my kids the other day, I said, boys, these are the three things I'm talking about today. I said, I'm talking, and I shared with them these three things I'm going to go over with you. I said, one is a person who's been infected by the love of Jesus, they bear fruit. I said, boys, what makes the trees in our backyard different than the one in our front yard? He goes, well, they're orange trees. I go, but what if I told you the one in our front tree, in our front yard, is an orange tree? I go, what would you do? They go, we'd believe you. I go, okay, I'm telling you right now, the tree in our front yard is an orange tree. And Judah goes, no, it's not, Dad. How do you know? It doesn't have oranges on it. Okay, great. So I ask you, if you're infected, are you producing fruit? Does your life have evidence of fruit? Number two, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Number two, an infected person has a light that shines. It says let. That's key. You have a choice on whether you will let your light shine. You have a choice whether when you're at work, you're going to let your light shine. Whether you're going to join in the conversation you shouldn't be in. Whether you're going to say the things you know you shouldn't say. Or whether you're going to be different. You have a choice. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine. When I was a kid, there was this song, and it says, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Some of you are like, what in the world is he singing? You see, if you grew up in Christian culture, which I was born and raised in church, you know that song. So you're like, what song is that? We won't sing it from the stage. Scott's actually going to sing it next. I'm kidding. But see, the idea of that song is, I'm not going to let anything hide my light. If you want to show that you're infected by the love of Jesus, you let your light shine. You let it shine at school, at work, at home, everywhere you go. The third thing is found in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Something new, Jesus says. He says, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. He says, your love for one another will prove to not just your neighbor, and not just your coworker, but it says your love for one another will prove that you are my disciples. Will prove that you are infected. So if people were to look at your life, what would they say? Have you been exposed to Jesus? Remember, a life exposed to Jesus cannot help but be infected by his love. So are you infected? Some things to look at. Am I producing fruit? Am I letting my light shine? Am I loving to one another? Am I doing that? Am I? Are you infected? Are you producing fruit? Are you letting your light shine? Are you loving one another? Are you doing those things? Jesus says, your love for one another proves to not just those around you, proves to the world who you are. Our love for one another is proof of our infection. And if we want this message to go viral, the only way for it to happen is if we're producing fruit. If we are letting our light shine, and if we are loving one another. Can you imagine what would happen if your home, in your home, just in your home with your roommates? Can you imagine what would happen if you did those three things? Can you imagine what would happen if you lived that way in your home with your husband and wife and your kids? Can you imagine what would happen in your school if you did those three things?
Can you imagine what would happen in your work if you did those three things? For those of you who are managers and bosses, you are an influencer of people. Can you imagine the ripple effect if you led in such a way? Can you imagine what it would do to your coworkers, to those who lead under you, who also have influence? If you spoke life into them, if you loved them, if you were infected, so infected. And you're like, are you going to talk about being contagious? No, that's in 2 weeks. First, are we infected? But can you imagine the impact in our communities if we did this? Just imagine with me. Close your eyes for a moment. Imagine with me. Jesus used two men to impact 5,000. Two men to impact 5,000. I'm going to guess there's 100 of you, 100 plus of you in this room right now. Can you imagine what God could do with 100? Can you imagine what God could do with you? You're like, I don't know if I have that much influence. You will never know until you actually take a step of faith and do something. You'll never know. But I'll tell you what, God wants to use you to change people's lives. Because a life exposed to Jesus cannot help but be infected by his love.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.